Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 20th chapter, text number 23. Correct? 23? Devo Devan Jagannataha Srijati Smati Lolupan Tayenam Lolupataya Maithunaya Bhipedire. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Sex life is the background of material existence. Here also it is repeated that demons are very fond of sex life. The more one is free from the desire for sex, the more he is promoted to the level of the demigods. The more one is inclined to enjoy sex, the more he is degraded to the level of demoniac life. We are reading from the chapter, Conversation Between Maitreya and Vidura, the section dealing with the birth of such special type of demons which came from the buttocks of Brahma. In the subsequent verses, there will be more explanation about these demons in the next 4 or 5 verses. In this chapter, the different creations that come from Brahma are explained. Like how the Gandharvas came, they are singers. And you will find there are 10 types of creations you will hear about, one after another. And for each of these creations, Brahma casts away his body and they accept. Like for example, when Brahma became lusty, or afflicted by the behavior of these demons, the Lord told him, you give up your body. So Brahma gives up that body of intelligence and he accepts another body. So at that time, when this body came down, it appeared, the demons took this body actually. This body of Brahma appeared like a very beautiful, attractive woman for the demons, by seeing whom they became lusty, all the demons. So in this world, lust enters into the living entity's minds because of that first incident. By seeing that body of Brahma, the demons took it and they became covered by the consciousness of lust. So in this way, each of the body that he casts away are explained in this chapter. And the different types of creatures that he creates are also being spoken. Here, these demons who came from his back, it is said, Atilolupataya, it is said. They were extremely fond of sex life, so much so that they even wanted to attack their own father, who has created them, wanted to indulge in sex with him. Like, the modern times, one of the things that is being very widely spoken is incest. Like a mother trying to indulge in sex with a son, or father indulging in sex with his own daughter. It's considered very abominable. Extremely abominable. In fact, Prabhupada says, the pigs and dogs sometimes don't differentiate between who is my sister, who is my daughter, or who is my mother. They indulge with anybody without any discrimination amongst the animals. That is animal kingdom. In human society, the sister or daughter is also treated like mother. Like you will find Kardama Muni's episode, Swayambhava Manu calling his daughter as Ambe. The word Amba means mother, Amma or Amba. So even a father calls his daughter as Ambe. She is Amba only for everybody else, other than her husband. Only for the husband, wife is wife. For everybody else, she is mother. Yeah. So, This culture of seeing women as mother is Vedic culture, which is very important. Like sometimes our devotees go to hospital, you come across some nurses. So some nurse has to give you some treatment. But oftentimes the nurse is a young woman, a young girl. Somebody may resist. Like sometimes you go for a dental operation. Isn't it? Imagine a young woman is operating on your mouth. You know, moving your cheeks or putting this instrument into your mouth or applying this thing. I said, one should see her as a mother. There are seven mothers, isn't it? Your mother is a mother, then Raja's wife is a mother also. Brahman Patni is a mother. And Bhuma Devi, Bhumata is also a mother. And of course, nurse, the last one I was about to say. One more. Cow is a mother. Yeah, Guru Patni. So Guru Patni, Brahman Patni, Raja Patni, and Bhumi, and Cow, and one's own mother, and nurse. Saman mother. So she's a mother. She should be seen as a mother. So that is the right consciousness. So these people are supposed to be treated as a mother. Just in Quran, it is said, one should not indulge with one's sister or one's mother or one's mother's sister or one's grandmother, you know, one's brother's wife. All that, there's a long list given in Quran. But in Vedic literature, it is made simple. It is said, other than one's wife, you treat everybody as a mother. Very simple. You don't have to give a long list. Somebody may capture something out of the list. So you don't need to give a long list, you know. See, anybody other than your wife, you should treat her as a mother. So, the animals may indiscriminately have sex like that. But human beings are considered cultured. In fact, the very principle of sex in this world is kept only for procreation of children. That is the purpose for which it is kept. The attraction, male and female attraction principle is kept so that the progeny can come out and the generation, vamsha, can grow, go on and on. Because so many living entities are waiting in queue to take bodies. So they have to be given bodies. For that purpose, this sex life is kept in this world. But other than that, the sex has no other purpose. Absolutely. According to Shastra, the sex is used only for procreation of children. Otherwise, it has... Sex is not for recreation, it's only for procreation. So, here what he's talking is something amazing. Now, Brahma is a male and he's begetting children from his buttocks, from behind. And now they want to indulge in sex with him. How can a male have sex with another male? Of course, this may be something new for some years ago, but now everybody knows. Male-male attraction is becoming so much prominent nowadays. This is considered extremely perverted sex, more perverted than the regular sex by which people beget children. When sex, ati lolupataya, he says, when one becomes extremely lolupataya, extremely attached to sex life, one, while dealing with another male member, male can become attracted to male. That is that principle which in the modern times is the lesbian, gay culture that we are talking about. This is mentioned in Bhagavatam. In the next 4-5 verses you will see it is mentioning about that why a male becomes attracted to male. Today there are people who, male and male, they marry and they stay together also in the same flat. There are like gay marriages. Not only in America, it has come to India also now. It's authorized by Indian government also. Now you may wonder how male and male staying together lifelong. They can't beget any children. There is no child production through that. It's only their psychological satisfaction for which they can stay together. So His Holiness Bhaktacharya Maharaj was once telling, any sex that does not produce children is illicit. Very simple logic. Any sex that that does not produce baby is illicit. Very simple. So, or if a baby is produced, it is killed in the womb. Or if a male is having so-called sex, it doesn't produce any children, so it is illicit. Because Shastras never approve of such kind of sex. It's perverted. It is improper, impure. It is against the principle of cleanliness of both the body and the mind. It fills one's mind with exploitative enjoying mentality, which is lust. So, recently we were attending one child protection seminar. There they showed a video where a group of 10-20 children are being trained by a teacher. Nowadays, everywhere people are, children are becoming trained now. How to not be sexually abused by other members of society. Like they were asking the child that if somebody touches your chest, or somebody touches the portion between the two legs, or your back, buttocks or back, what do you feel? And all the children say, we feel uncomfortable. We don't feel comfortable. So then what would you do? Children didn't know. So they were educated. They were told, anybody touches these three portions, you should immediately shout. How will you shout? Yes, all the children shouted. Whose name will you shout? Mom or Papa. You have to shout loudly. That's the first thing you should do. And then second thing they thought, get up and run away from that place. Immediately. And then the third thing, go to someone whom you can trust, like your mother or father, and immediately you should tell them, I am abused by somebody, and you should reveal it to them. You should reveal it. So they were training the children, and children picked up. We have that video, we have brought the video. So we have to educate our people also. Now this is for children they are training, that a child can be abused by somebody. There are various ways of abuse. Beating up a child, spanking a child, or sometimes beating to a point of breaking a hand or leg. Or sometimes one another form of abuse is sexual abuse. A child can be abused. Now, they are training the children nowadays because when a child is being abused, a child should know, the child should be aware that I am being abused. If a child doesn't know, a child feels uneasy, he doesn't know what to do. And the person who abuses also says, this is a secret relationship between you and me. Don't tell anybody. So they are telling in that video, this is not a secret relation, this is nonsense relation. You have to go and reveal it to someone whom you trust. Now in the same manner, grown-up people, I was telling about children now, grown-up people, young boys or young girls in the grown-up stage, if they indulge in this kind of relationship, between man and man, or man and woman, or man and or woman and woman, this kind of attraction for the same sex also is also abominable. It is very, very, very perverted. In Prabhupada's times, one time, one Mataji came and told Prabhupada. In those days, they had Brahmacharini ashram. One Mataji said, Prabhupada, this lady says she cannot live in the Brahmacharini ashram. Prabhupada asked, what is the problem? She feels disturbed. What is the disturbance? All girls are staying, you stay with them. That's why she is very disturbed. Because she was getting disturbed by other girls. What does that mean? She had a female-female attraction. Just like there is male-male attraction. Yeah. So, due to some kind of genetic disorder, due to extreme lust, there can be male-male attraction. Or male-female attraction, which is explained here, and this is one of the species also, according to the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is one of the species. You will find that when these fellows came to attack Brahma, initially Brahma was wondering, hey, what are these fellows doing? They are attacking like a dog from behind. So he was laughed seeing their behavior, because he knows there is a sex life created between man and woman for procreating children. But what are these fellows doing? Initially he laughed. Afterwards, he turned around and saw they were really serious. And Then he became angry. Hey, leave. He was trying to escape from them, but they were chasing after him. At last he ran to the Supreme Personality of Godhead with folded palms and prayed to him. My dear Lord, save me from these fellows who are attacking me. Huh? Like that he had to pray. And then it is mentioned there, these are the first homos created in the whole universe. The first homosexuals. Before the modern man would have come to know the word homo. Long before that, God has created homos. Yeah. So, this is due to atilolupataya, he says. Extreme fondness for sex life creates even such kind of male-male attraction. So, just as I was telling you about children, if a male is attacked by another male, one should not allow that. One should not. Somebody may say, what can I do? You know, somebody is misbehaving with me like this. You know, no, I didn't do anything. Somebody is doing it. Oh, one should oppose it. Just as children are taught to oppose. So, in that seminar they were teaching, right embrace, wrong embrace. They were teaching. Right touch, wrong touch. So, somebody, a Vaishnava, you are offering obeisances, they give an embrace. That is the right embrace. And there is a wrong embrace, like Dhritarashtra's embrace of Bhima. That's a wrong embrace. That embrace is meant for killing Bhima. Similarly, somebody may also embrace out of lust. Like somebody has a very feminist look. Somebody is feeling some lust. Actually, as the hormones proportions are changed, the body is also, you'll find there are many males who look like females. Their bodies are too soft and too tender. Similarly, there are many females also who look like males. You've seen that? Nowadays, sometimes it is difficult to distinguish who is male, female. Both wear pants. Both wear pants. If there can be a male who has more, there may be a female having more male proportion, or a male having more female proportion. So, when one of the aspects of Vaishnava lifestyle is, when Vaishnavas get up, you embrace, but the embrace should be a right embrace, not a wrong embrace out of lust, not an embrace of rubbing the cheeks or rubbing the body due to desire for atilolupataya. Excessive fondness for sex life, you see. So, they were teaching about this, right embrace, wrong, and similarly, right touch and wrong touch. The wrong touch, I told you, which are the portions of the body which are private, which are called the private. Private is private. It is not meant to be touched by anybody else. So, this kind of dirty culture is coming up amongst the college students, and you can imagine when one enters into teenage, when hormone starts firing, one doesn't even know what is right behavior, wrong behavior, unless one is taught. Unless one is taught these things. In teenage, one is living in a kind of state of dream. It's a dream stage, and one may indulge in foolish animalistic activities for which one will regret later, after one grows up. But Bhagavatam very openly puts up these things for everyone to know it, everyone to learn it, what is right behavior, wrong behavior. So there is animalistic platform, human platform, divine platform. At least one should become human first, before coming to divine. Like you can clearly see the difference between animal and human. Animals don't wear dress, but humans wear dress. That is sabbeta, that is culture, isn't it? Animals don't feel shy at all. Have you ever seen any animal feeling shy for not wearing dress? Monkey or a dog, you look at him and they feel shy. They don't feel any shyness. We feel shy, when you are not wearing proper dress, or when you are wearing dress, somebody comes in, you are supposed to feel shy. You are not supposed to expose your body. But animals don't feel shy at all. Similarly, and that is the reason the law codes for animals are different from that of humans. If a he dog is approaching a she dog on the road, no police is going to catch. But you see, a man catches hand of a woman, immediately police will catch him. Immediately. What to speak of catching, even eve teasing. Even eve teasing is punishable. In some countries, the punishments are very severe. In some countries. So, you can compare and see, keep aside the shastras, even without the shastras, in normal human life, you can clearly see difference between animal and human. Even an average man who doesn't know shastra can know the etiquettes for a human life. You can see. Like in a human society, there is a system of marriage. Like if a woman is married to a man, other people are supposed to deal with her with dignity. Loose dealings between one man and another man's wife are absolutely never entertained in a cultured society. Isn't it? So, one has to first of all come to the human platform. And then from human platform, then one has to understand what is divine. Divine is even higher. So, instead of ascending to divine, here we are finding these creatures, they are degrading to animalistic, that very barbaric type of behavior. And that is due to lust, he says. So, lust, it is said, lust makes men into monsters and women into witches. That is the nature of lust. So, even a very cultured person can become very degraded by lust. In the Bhagavad Gita, there is a discussion about lust elaborately, but the beginning of this is explained very beautifully in one verse. See the famous verses Krishna said, Eme matamidam nityam manudishtanti manavaha shraddhavanto anasuyanto muchyante te pikarmabhi et padabhyasuyanto nanutishtanti ve matam sarvajnana vimudham stan viddi nashtan achetasaha. Krishna is telling, Eme matamidam nityam anutishtanti. Those people who will follow my instructions, Arjuna, strictly, as I have given in the scriptures, shraddhavanto, with great faith and without any envy for me, they will become liberated and they will go back to Godhead. So the shastras very clearly give principles and Krishna only has given them. He is telling what is right behavior, wrong behavior. But then immediately he is telling about those who don't follow. Ye tvadabhya suyanto na anutishtanti me matam na anutishtanti me matam. There are people who do not follow me. Although they know that I have told these things should be followed, they don't follow. Jahan bujkar paap karna. Knowingly people deviate from the path of truth. What will happen to them? Sarva jnana vimudamsta. They will become a vimudha, bewildered soul. They will become bewildered. Vidyanashtan achetasaha. They will lose their sadbuddhi and they will become un-Krishna conscious, he is saying. Achetasaha. So we want to become Krishna conscious. But here Krishna says those who don't follow, they become un-Krishna conscious. Now the next question arises in our mind. If a king lays down some order, this is the way my citizens should live. And these are things they should not do. Then actually citizens are supposed to follow it. Why would they break it? Arjuna would have such a question, is it not true? And then Krishna gives the reason. Why, even after knowing that this is the right behavior, this is wrong behavior, why do people indulge in wrong? He is saying here, Sadrisham cheshtate svasyaha prakritir jnanavanapi prakritim yanti bhutani nigrahakyam karishyasi karishyati. He is saying, Sadrisham cheshtate svasyaha. Everybody acts according to the gunas in which one is born. He is saying, prakritir jnanavanapi, even though one may be very learned, still one is driven by the modes in which one is born. Like a dog, if you make him sit on an elevated seat, if he smells a shoe, he will jump off the seat and he will lick the shoe, isn't it? Because that is his swabhav. Similarly, everybody has a swabhav in which they are born. Prakritim yanti bhutani nigraha kyam karishyati. What can repression accomplish, Arjuna? Because every living entity is born of certain modes. And they tend to act according to the mode. Especially he is talking about Rajoguna and Tamaguna, which he will tell subsequently. Those are born in Rajoguna. The nature of Rajas is, it impels a person to act whimsically. One of the characteristics of lust is one acts independently, one acts whimsically. This is an external expression of internal lust. You see, an angry person is very easily observable. Somebody becomes very angry, you can look at his eyes and face and everything, people can say, this fellow is angry now. But a lusty person goes without becoming undetected, becoming detected. Because a lusty man, nobody knows what is in his mind. He may be staring at somebody with some lusty intentions. One may not know. It's not as detectable as anger. But the internal lust, it comes out as the desire to act whimsically, act independently. Exactly the opposite what you are told to do. That tendency actually comes from lust only. That's one of the special characteristics of lust. That is why Krishna says in the 16th chapter, last verse also, Yashastravidimutsrujya vartate kamakarataha na sasiddhim abapnoti na sukham na param gatim. He says in this world also they can't be happy, and the next world also they won't be happy, he says. Because of this type of Yashastravidimutsrujya, the tendency to give up the Shastravidhi, he says. So, that tendency actually comes from lust only, born of Rajoguna, Rajoguna, Pravritti, one gives up. So, Krishna is saying, yes, they know very well what is right, what is wrong, they have heard it from me, but still they break it, because they simply are slaves to their Rajoguna Pravritti. They are godas, they are servants of their own senses and mind. So, mind is more subtle than the senses, and the buddhi is even more subtle. But the buddhi also, see, buddhi is like a watchman posted, but sometimes the watchman himself can become corrupt. Like I say, if a thief wants to steal from a house, the watchman may say, okay, steal it, make some money and give me half. You can do that now, like that. He may allow that. In those days there were some watchmen like that. They would let the thieves come in and steal something and go and give. Then we throw them out. Throw out those watchmen also. So, the watchman is supposed to be loyal to the owner of the house. Not that he allows a thief to steal and share with him. Like the sometimes police people do sometimes. So, sometimes the corrupt buddhi may also entertain lust. That is why buddhi is also not trustworthy. Buddhi can also be not trusted. That is why Prabhupada writes in one of the purports, the jiva should simply take shelter of the super soul and pray to him, my dear Lord, I cannot trust my senses, they are rascals. I cannot trust my mind, who is simply the gundanu gunda, gundon ke gunda. He is the leader of the gunda senses. And he is also looting me, he is also plundering me. And the buddhi is supposed to control the mind, but he has become polluted by associating with the mind. He is doing under the table transaction with the mind. Under the table, kugus, bribing. He is accepting bribe from the mind and letting unwanted things enter into the system. So, since although I have many so-called guardians, namely the intelligence, mind and senses, they are not trustworthy. So, I am taking shelter of you. Take shelter of the super soul and pray to him. Please, my dear Lord, purify my intelligence. This brashta buddhi, make it pure. Buddhi has become brashta. Make it pure. Then when the intelligence is purified, in fact, the intelligence has to be completely aligned with Krishna's instruction, intelligence. And the intelligence then will never let unwanted things into the system. You see? In this way, as conditioned souls, our intelligence is also polluted. So we need guidance, because we cannot consult the intelligence. It has intelligence also has become contaminated. That is why one has to hear from Guru, Shastra, Sadhu, and completely follow it. So here he is saying, and another thing as he says here is Nigraha Kim Karishyasi, means artificially we cannot suppress this lust externally. It has to be like, if the mind is contaminated, it directs the senses to act in the wrong way, improper way. Like, why should somebody catch a child and do some wrong thing with the child? Why do they abuse a child? Because the mind is contaminated. You see? They are looking for a chance to act in dirty ways. Especially those who are accepting responsibility should be very careful. Like sometimes we hear in our students' centers, some students misbehaving, then we remove them. Unfortunately, somebody becomes victimized and then we remove. And then we remove the perpetrator or the person who is indulging in wrong ways. So, in the very first place, one should know that such dirty actions are absolutely prohibited, especially for spiritualists. Karmis, materialistic people may not be aware what is right, what is wrong. In devotee community, this should be safeguarded. If a male-male attraction somebody is feeling and they are indulging, then they should be immediately sent to get married. Because many oftentimes, a male needs a female, but if he doesn't marry, he is artificially suppressing, then it will come out as male-male. Just like, you know, if you put a male dog in a cage, and there is no female dog, then male dog start doing some wrong things. Because they need a female dog. Okay, give a female dog, then the problem is solved. So this is one type of thing it is found out. Another thing, sometimes there is no female attraction at all for a male. He has only male attraction. This is what is being spoken here in the Bhagavatam here, in the next few verses. These people have no attraction for female, only male-male attraction. This is extremely dangerous. Because there is no solution to it, other than restraining this tendency. There is no solution. One doesn't feel attraction for females, one feels attraction for male only. Whom we call as a typical homo. A homo candidate. Extremely dangerous it is. But Indian government has found a solution. What is it? Gay marriage. Okay, whichever male you want to marry, at least trouble only that person, don't trouble others. May I marry a fellow and both of you live, whatever happiness you get, you be happy with that. Whatever rubbish things you want to do, do nonsense things which you may imagine to be happiness. Do that so-called happiness. So, yeah, Indian government is declaring it because Indian government has not read Bhagavatam. They don't know. Here they are counted as demons. This behavior is counted as? Somebody was telling, hey, you cannot call the gays as demons. They will take offense. You know, they will take you to court. You see, but the scriptures teach us how to recognize demoniac tendencies in us. It is a demoniac tendency. If any of us are feeling attraction for another male, immediately we should know what tendency it is. Demoniac tendency. What's wrong in saying that? Similarly, for example, if a woman is married to another man, you look at her with the eye of enjoyment, which is a demoniac tendency. Prabhupada says in 16.1-7, he says, what to speak of enjoying with another woman, even to look at a woman with the desire to enjoy and exploit, is so abominable that one should better commit suicide. Prabhupada says that. You know that? Of course, don't commit suicide. The purpose he says is it is so abominable. He says. It is so abominable. So it's a demoniac tendency. A tendency to exploit. It arises from rajoguna. It arises from a lower animalistic nature. It's like, you know, putting a dog inside a human body. Our external body is what? Human. Inside mentality is? Dog. That's what he is saying. Animalistic tendency in a human body. So what should one do? If one is finding that I am moving like a wonderful human being externally, but inside I have some animal tendencies, one should better take note and find out how to. One thing we could do is grow from rajoguna to sattvaguna. Because sattvaguna, the senses become controlled and the senses become purified. One's motivations become purified also. When one goes to sattvaguna, because the goal of sattvaguna is purification of heart. Whereas the goal of rajoguna is to enjoy and exploit. So, we have to go from rajoguna to sattvaguna. There are 10 things in Uddhava Gita, Lord Krishna explains to Uddhava. The time is in different gunas. The place is in different gunas. Food is in different gunas. Whatever you accept, association is in different gunas. So we have to make a list of all those items. How to increase the sattvata, sattva pradhan. And that's why in our society, ISKCON society, Prabhupada has given the four regulative principles. By strictly following the four regulative principles, one will come to sattva guna. And when we come to sattva guna, we will enjoy. In fact, Krishna says that sattva sanjayate jnanam. When by sattva, the jnanam arises, wisdom comes. And from that wisdom comes happiness. All the senses become illumined, he says. The eyes, ears, nose, tongue, skin, everything becomes illumined. Illumined means we take only pure things through them. Even some of the people sitting here might have been eating non-veg before. But after becoming devotee, you eat only vegetarian, that too offered to Krishna. So you take only pure things inside. Like one great writer said, don't make your stomach an abode of carcasses, a graveyard of carcasses. Like that he said. So he called the belly a graveyard of carcass when one is eating non-vegetarian foods. So impure things, you see. But when you come to sattva guna, then one loses the attraction for eating such horrible things. Same way with the eyes, with the ears, with the nose. So one should increase the sattva guna so that the intake will become pure. And when intake is pure, then the mind is calm, cool and collected, isn't it? But Prabhupada writes in one purport in Bhagavatam, if one aspires for sattva guna without devotional service, one will not be able to maintain the status quo for a long time. It's not possible. Jnanis do that. Many jnanis try to attain sattva guna without taking to devotion service. Because that famous verse, yat pada pankaja palasha vilasa bhaktya karmashayam ratitamudgratayanti santaha tadvanna rikta matayo yatayo piruddha sroto ganastamaranam bhajavasudevam. In this verse it is said, sroto ganastamaranam. The desires for sense gratification in this world, they come like waves in an ocean. And they are slapping and knocking down everybody. But those who take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, they are like those who rise above the wave. So waves are coming, but they don't touch the devotee at all. Devotee rises above. Whereas the jnanis who try to keep themselves in sattva guna, they may be in sattva guna for some time, but eventually they'll be slapped by the waves of desires for sense gratification and knocked down. Just like they showed in the Vishwamitra drama. Vishwamitra or like Saubari Muni, like that. Now, even a neophyte devotee may also be knocked off. Why? Because a neophyte devotee is not able to advance to such a platform in devotional service where he will face no return. So in the neophyte stage, we have still many wrong motivations. There are material desires, there are material motivations, the cunning motivations in neophyte stage, due to which we also struggle with the senses. It's a struggling stage. It's a great vishaya sangra, great struggle. But one should be in the right direction. Through devotion service, purify the mind. To the degree we are purified, to that degree one will rise above animalistic tendencies. Just like some people argue, you say that we cannot eat non-veg, but we have one canine teeth. What does that prove? Okay, canine teeth God has given because he knows that you also have a desire to do animalistic activities. So he has given that. But that doesn't mean you have to use it. If you are using that canine teeth, next time you will get canine teeth all over. If you use that, isn't it? Whereas canine teeth is there, but you don't use it. Then the nature will say, "Arey, this fellow is not using it. Why to give him canine teeth? Give him demigod teeth, divine teeth." Is it not true? It's very obvious, very easy to understand. It's very simple, very scientific. Very scientific theory it is. Similarly, when we become devotees, we have abundant chance to misuse also our position. There is abundant opportunity for misusing the position also. Like, you know, somebody happened to be a servant of a great guru, sannyasi. And the sannyasi, naturally, many grihasthas are very fond of serving sannyasis. They make big plates of prasad and come and serve. And the guruji doesn't eat much. He eats a little bit here and there and he gives the plate. You know. Then the other people, they feast on the prasad. Everybody knows that. Or some people know that at least. You know. So, this Prabhuji, he used to eat all the 95% of the plate what Guruji leaves. Yeah. And because the so many Matajis give prasad and he has to interact with so many Matajis, eventually you'll find, you know, he changes his color and then he gets married and settles. This is a very common phenomena. You will find that. An opulent food and close association with women, naturally one loses, you know, any clarity of vision in spiritual life. One goes down. So, one has abundant opportunity, but one should not use that opportunity. One should not, even in spiritual life, there may be abundant opportunity for enjoyment. That's what Krishna says in one of the verses. Indriyani, indriyartya, I'll read that verse. Indriyasyendriyasyarte ragadveshau vyavastitau tayorna vashamagacche tauhyasya paripantinau. He's telling, there are rules and regulations for using our indriya, senses. But those rules and regulations are given for restricting the senses from sense enjoyment, not for increasing our indulgence. For example, there is another verse in 11th Canto Bhagavatam, which says, Loke Vyavayam Amishamadhya Seva. There is one verse, you can refer that. Loke Vayayam Amishamadhya Seva. This verse says, there are some rules and regulations given for the meat eaters that they can eat on Amavasya day, or they can drink on Amavasya day. Some restrictions are given to them. But those people who are not eating meat, they should not quote those verses and start eating meat. You understand, no? Or a person who has not been drinking liquor at all, now you quote that 11th Canto Bhagavatam and it says Amavasya day we can drink, so can we drink? So, a person getting 60% should try to go to 80%, not come to 40%. And on the other hand, somebody getting 40% should try to go to 60%, like that. Similarly, in the spiritual life also, you will find some rules and regulations are given. One should always be in the upward direction. One should be going. Like, you know, the Shastra say that virag should develop in spiritual life. Virag. What is that verse? Na viragaya kalpate, na tirthapada sevayai, jivannavi mrutohi saha. That is one verse. Nehayat karma dharmaya na viragaya kalpate, na tirthapada sevayai, jivannavi mrutohi saha. Na iha. Yat karma dharmaya. If you are doing some work in this world, that work should become dharma for you. Somebody is a software engineer. Is my karma dharma? Yes, if you are giving a portion of your earning to Krishna's service, then it becomes dharma. Okay, then gradually by doing that work and earning for Krishna and giving, you remember Krishna more and more. Then that dharma leads to what? Neha yat karma dharmaya na virag. Then it will lead to virag. Detachment. Yeah. Otherwise, the extra money, we will enjoy it for our own self. Then vairagya should come. And then that vairagya will lead to devotional service, bhakti, eventually. Similarly, a devotee should develop vairag. Ideally speaking, those people, those who are grihasthas, but who use sex life only for procreating children and not otherwise, they are also counted as brahmacharis. They are called grihastha brahmacharis. In the Shastra, you will find that term. They are called grihastha brahmacharis also. And they are extremely powerful. Like you see Bhaktivinoda Thakur begot 10 children. But you see how powerful he is. Because they use it only for procreation and not for any recreation. It's a very advanced platform. Of course, those who don't follow the standard, then they can become degraded more. Similarly, if one cannot practice the complete brahmacharya Naishtika Brahmacharya, as a Brahmacharya or a Sannyasi. Then there is a Grihastashrama given. And Grihastashrama also, the highest standard is what I told you. Then one cannot follow that, then there may be lower standards like that. So, but nothing should be illegitimate or illegal. That is what is condemned. This sex that is being described here is illegal, illegitimate. This is not authorized in the scripture. Male-male attraction, female-female attraction, absolutely not authorized. Or picking up a child and abusing a child. So, if somebody is fondling with a child, abusing a child, that means there is an urge for sex, but they are not getting opportunity. Very soon, that fellow should be made to get married, so that he will not meddle with others. That opportunity should be given. Once I was talking to my spiritual master about this, that some fellows are found to be behaving hypocritically. You know, they want to be brahmacharis and they try to, you know, get into this kind of track. He said it is not hypocrisy, it is weakness of heart. You get them married, they'll be peaceful. So, one should get married at the right age. If one has to get married, unnecessarily, one should not suppress. So the Shastras condemn suppression also and indulgence also. Shastras talk about sublimation. Sublimation means spiritually we should become purified and advanced to such a degree that we don't have any attraction for this principle of male-female attraction or male-male attraction and all these things. One should completely transcend it. And one should see that this is an impure thing. This is not meant for human and divine platform. And this sex life is kept only for procreation and not for any other purpose. If one can have such a vision, that is called sublimation. Otherwise, the indulgence is allowed in a restricted way, as he says here. Male, female, they get married. And then gradually you will find when a man and woman get married at the age of 20, 25, initially the attraction is great, but eventually the attraction will fade away. Gradually one, as they go to 20, 30, 40, 50, and 50, beyond 50, there is ikavan, bhavan, vanaprast starts. One. The Shastras are reminding, go to one. See, this is the proof that the Grihastha couple has lived their lifestyle in a very serious way. What is the proof? When they touch 50, both husband and wife are running towards Krishna. Now they say that enough is enough, now let us give all our energy, time, money, property, everything. Let us become totally Krishna's property. That is the proof that the Grihasthashrama is successful. Is acid test of Grihasthashrama. Of course, if Guru says you continue to work, you do your company job till the age of 75, they may do also. On the order of Guru, that is another thing. But I am telling about the natural course of action. Imagine somebody is already 80 years old, you ask him, Prabhuji, what is your plan? He says, I am expanding my business. You know, that's not a very good sign. You know? Yeah. Actually, expanding material life is also a sign of lust. It is expression of lust. Expanding material life, more and more. And one should be tending towards spiritual life, beyond 50. So, this is actually the Shastric method of giving up lust. Get married, have children, raise them in a Krishna conscious way. 99% of the population will do that, and it is completely sanctioned in the scripture. One should never think Grihasthashrama is inferior, or in the name of considering Grihasthashrama inferior, many people can become hypocritical in the so-called renounced order. It is better that one gives up hypocrisy and properly is married and raises children and then gives up lust gradually over a period of time. In fact, Krishna prescribes in this verse regulation. See, he says here, accept, Krishna, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says here, accept sense objects and simultaneously cultivate regulation. So this is the Grihasthashrama. Accept sense object and simultaneously cultivate regulation. Regulated acceptance. So here what Brahma is talking about is demons. This is not regulated. This is irregulated. This is nonsense, which is condemnable in the scripture. Similarly, for a married man to look at another woman's, another man's wife is also not regulated. It is condemnable. But within married life, there is a prescription for begetting children and raising them in a Krishna conscious way and giving them sanskars and raising children to become devotees of Krishna, becoming oneself Krishna conscious. That type of sex is the only sex that is authorized in the scripture. All these other forms of perverted sex are condemned in the scripture. So although internally one may feel some urge for these wrong tendencies due to the old vasanas from Purva Janam, one should actually restrain that urge, that type of urge. And if that urge cannot be restrained, then one should properly accept the shastric direction in getting married and having some indulgence in a restricted way, in a regulated way. That is allowed. Otherwise, artificial suppression comes out in some ugly way. Yeah. Imagine, for example, if a male, they are doing some wrong things, the homo type of thing, it brings a great disgrace to society. Somewhere in one temple, some male people indulge in it, became a very big thing in the paper. Yeah, it's a crazy thing. So this is due to artificial suppression. You see? So the artificial suppression will not last for a very long time. It will eventually come out. And similarly, in the modern day, man is teaching another wrong thing. He says, just do what feels good. This is called postmodern culture. This is most popular in America now and coming to India also. Don't put any restrictions. No rules, anything. Okay, you feel bhajan is good, go to temple and take part in bhajan. Being in garden is good, be in garden. Enjoying with any man, any woman it makes you feel good, do it. Now if you say, but what if somebody gets AIDS or some sexually transmitted disease? Don't think about consequences. Just do what feels good. This is modern, this is called postmodern. Does it make any sense? This is less than an animal, culture. And this is what our famous that Swami of Pune, Sambhog say, Samadhi. This is what he was propagating. That is why that became popular. If you have to enter into their organization, you have to prove that you are AIDS free. You know that? You don't have AIDS. You have to have AIDS free card when you have to enter into their campus. So they say, if you are angry on somebody, shout aloud. All the gali you want to give that person, give it out. And that way your heart will be emptied. Like that he is teaching. You vent it out, they are saying. Actually, this clearly shows how speculations are dangerous. You see, Shastra say, if you yell at somebody, you vent out and you call all gali, then inside you get wound up, according to Shastra. You develop more vengeance. It's not that it will be gone. Many times people who say, I don't want to remember that person, you know, they say, that means they're remembering more. You understand, huh? The more you yell and shout at people, the more you get wound up inside. Similarly, this fellow is saying, you are feeling sexual attraction to man or woman, anybody you feel sexual attraction, you do it, indulge freely. Go to park, whatever you want to do, all nonsense you do. So these people have ruined many of the parks actually. There are many places where they have made beautiful gardens. Instead of using the gardens to produce flowers to offer to Krishna, these people are using the garden for their romantic activities. And romance with anybody. There may be a 80-year-old woman having a romance with 85-year-old man also. Still even in that age also. They say, whatever desires you have, don't keep it, just indulge, just enjoy. But the Shastras say, you are preparing for a dog's body. Not that you are venting out desires and you will be free from it. No, you get more wound up by giving freedom to your mind. Because the mind will accept the freedom you are giving up to a point of insanity. Till you become insane and then get animal body after that. That's that Shastra say that. You see, this is totally against Shastra. This kind of do what feels good. Just do it. This kind of crazy civilization. So Shastra says the restriction is absolutely essential. And the restriction, like you have a regulator in a gas cylinder. Imagine somebody says, just open up the regulator, just leave it free. That will be a big explosion. There has to be regulation. In Vedic life, there is a place for women to sit, there is a place for men to sit. Even in co-ed schools, when we were studying co-ed in the school, we'll be on boys' side, the girls on girls' side. Occasionally there may be some exchange of notebook or something, very rarely. And girls associated with girls, boys associated with boys. And there was a lot of restriction. His Holiness Gopakrishna Maharaj came, when he came to Pune, he was telling, he was shocked when he went to Gujarat. Near one of the schools there were parks. In the park he found boy, girl doing romantic affairs. Sitting in the park benches freely, and the two boys, girls of 8th standard, 9th standard. He said, I went to park to chant my japa, I got shocked. He said, you know, this is because of the postmodern civilization coming into India also. So, slowly you will see boys and girls walking with four legs instead of two legs and two hands. Instead of walking, we should tell them to walk like that. Because they are coming down from animal, human kingdom to animal kingdom. Isn't it? Thank God we were introduced to Srila Prabhupada's mission, ISKCON society. Of course, if we were not knowing all these things, we will be in the same boat only, like the other people. Because there is nothing better people know to do. They watch movies and they just imitate romantic affairs in their life. Crazy life. So, that is why the restriction is put. And when there is restriction, actually you will find when we restrain our senses and do tapasya, then the mind and senses become purified. And that purification leads to happiness, called Brahma Saukhyam. Like we say, tapo divyam putraka yena sattvam. See, when you do tapo divyam, divya tap you do, what is divya tap? Restrain your senses, restrain your mind. And chant the holy name. When the senses and mind become purified, shudyet, yasmat. And what is the result of when the senses and mind become purified? Brahma Saukhyam. How much, for how much time you get Brahma Saukhyam? Anantam. Unending happiness, you see. Then you will never be hankering for lusty propensities, lusty enjoyment. Once you become purified, we will never compete with the pig for stool. You will allow the pig, you eat stool, I will eat halwa. You will never be competing with a pig for eating dirty things, you see. So we have to purify our heart by restraining the senses, by restricting them from freely indulging. But we are not suppressing the senses. Now somebody may say, you are restraining the senses, is it not suppression? No. We are restraining them and giving them a higher type of engagement, which is spiritual engagement, giving a higher taste. Although the higher taste has not yet developed, it will develop eventually. It's not a one or zero thing, like a binary thing. It's a gradual thing. It's a gradual development. And during the time of gradual development of higher taste, a devotee should keep oneself completely, strictly under the vigilance of Guru and the superiors. Not to allow the senses to go wild. Like we say, infatuation. What is infatuation? Infatuation is madness or wildness. Sometimes a boy becomes attracted to another feminist boy. He may capture him and kiss him. That is called infatuation. Actually, such behavior is inappropriate. It's arising out of lust. Because he has not yet become purified. It's an impure behavior. So even that one should not happen. If one is properly following the Guru, Even though one might not have developed a higher taste fully, if one is keeping oneself completely under the custody of Guru and Krishna and following the principles, one can peacefully live. The mind and senses will become cool and collected, engaging in Krishna's service. Because one is convinced this is the right path. And then gradually higher taste will develop when one turns around and sees that, oh, all that mad things I was mad after, they were simply nonsense. One will curl one's lips in distaste and spit at the thought. You know? So, this kind of restriction is prescribed for ultimate good. That's what Krishna is saying in this. Raga Dvesha. Raga means we have attachment to wrong things and aversion for the right things. For example, people living in society, a jamindari may be married to a wife, but he is looking at another man's beautiful wife. That is called as raga, attachment to wrong things. And you tell the jamindarji, sir, here we are arranging a Bhagavad Katha, please come. Samay nahi, Swamiji, bahut time lagta hai, I'm busy with this, I'm busy with that. That is called dvesha. Dvesha means aversion for sadhu sangha, satsanga. And raga means attachment to wrong things. He is saying that he has no time to go to a Bhagavad Katha and hear. Father, he has no time. But he is having time for having affair with another woman other than his wife. Father, he has time. So that is raga, you see. So, for nonsense activity, people have time. Many people who say they have no time to come to temple, you see, they have time for reading newspaper. They are sitting in front of television 4 hours, 6 hours. Isn't it? They are going around to, you know, European tours. They are going to hotels to eat out. They have time for all that. But for Krishna, oh, we are very busy, we have no time. So this is what Krishna says, one should give up. Raga, dvesha. One should give up this attachment for the wrong things and aversion for the right things. And that is possible when one falls in love with a saintly person. Of course, falling in love with a saintly person is not a sentimental thing. The real meaning of falling in love with a saintly person is to fall in love with his sound vibration. One should be convinced of hearing the sound vibration. Anybody who says, I love my guru, but they are not hearing from guru, their love is sentimental. Love is considered genuine when one is eager to take instructions, apply those instructions in one's life. In this way, what I told you just now are preliminary, some of the preliminary verses before Krishna talks about that verse, Kama Yesha Krodha Yesha, which he subsequently brings. Yeah. Okay, I can take 5 minutes questions. Yeah. Yes. Give the mic to him.
Prabhupada is mentioning that if somebody is giving up sex, he is becoming more and more to a demigod life. Demonic. But even in heavenly planets also we see that people are going to enjoy tapsaras and there is also sex life.
Actually, our understanding of heaven means, you know, actually in the heaven there are finer enjoyments. Like you will find Indra is sitting in a park bench seeing some apsaras dancing very beautifully, or they are playing on Veena. You know, they are playing Sarigama Padanesha, you know, some Alapana is going on. There are finer enjoyments. Actually, even on earth, you will see families who come to Sattvaguna type of families. In South India, for example, if a boy has to be married to a girl, the parents of the boy will ask whether girl knows some Bharatanatyam or she knows some Carnatic music, she knows cooking, nice prasad and everything. They check these things. Because, you know, our understanding of enjoyment means sex life. Sex life actually is very short-lived pleasure. It's a physical pleasure. Physical pleasure is very, very short-lived. It's a momentary pleasure. So, there is infatuation in the beginning. The promise is very big. But the actual end result is very limited. Just like you see a helicopter is flying. A big, you know, chart is put up there. Fresh, cooling, bistleri waters. And you think whole helicopter is full of water only, you think. It goes round and round, you are also watching. At last when it comes down, one man is coming out, bringing one bistleri bottle, that too with a few drops of water. And gives you in the hand. It's like that. What is that? Sutamita Ramani Samaje, he says, you know. So, actually man, woman, rubbing of these two animated bodies, that doesn't give much happiness. So once that is over, one gets fed up, tired of it. Then there are finer enjoyments. Like sometimes Veena, tong tong tong, very beautifully playing on Veena, it's very, isn't it? Or playing on flute, or Bharatanatyam. There are many other things also. 64 kalas originating from Srimati Radharani in the spiritual sky, but also in the heavenly planets also. There are many such enjoyments, the heaven also. So, as you go from Tamaguna to Rajaguna, Rajaguna to Sattaguna, the happinesses become more and more finer also. And also, see, because the Bhagavatam is oriented towards developing Krishna Prem, it puts a glaring light on the criticism of heavenly planets in Bhagavatam. You know, it's like sometimes the night, the radium, when there is a radium stick in a clock, it becomes very visible at night. You have seen, no? You see. So Bhagavatam also highlights those portions of the heavenly planets where even Indra is criticized and Indra is pulled, his leg is pulled many times, because in comparison to Shuddha Bhakti, you know, Indra's attitude and motivations are very condemnable. But if you read the other Puranas, then Lord Vishnu is called as Upendra. He becomes a younger brother of Indra. If you see, Indra's glorification is done in so many Puranas. Now we people haven't read all the Puranas, we directly have come to Bhagavad Puran. And we all we know about Indra is, you know, he's not, he's not a very proper fellow. You know? But most people who read, if you read other Puranas, Indra is so much glorified also. In Mahabharata also when you read, there are also many sections glorifying Indra. Actually Indra is the chief of all the devatas, if you see. You know, enjoying with the woman is not the only thing he's doing. He does many other things also. He does many other important things also. So generally according to our devotees, how they see heavenly planets, oh, heavenly planets in there dancing with Apsaras, enjoying the Apsaras. And what about Vaikuntha? Vaikuntha is not so, no. Goloka is best. You know, because we are given the highest things, other lower things, everything becomes condemnable. You know, so, and also when we say divine initially means demigods, but the highest aspect of divine is pure devotional service. Daivi Sampat, when Krishna says, you will see, Daivi Sampat, Asuri Sampat is explaining. Like, Yasyasti Bhaktir Bhagavati Akinchana, Sarvai Gunai Satra Samasate Sura, it is said. Sura means, the demigods have a lot of good qualities. There is no doubt about that. Occasionally, some demigod also may slip and fall down, prey to some wrong thing. Just as you find sometimes, even good devotees also, sometimes can slip from the standards and fall. And we cannot label them as bad devotees for all time. We can see that in the course of our endeavor for controlling mind and senses and progressing, there's a likelihood of slip always. The slip happens. Same happens in demigod community also. There may be a slip. Of course, the Bhagavatam gives vivid examples of how one should be careful not to offend great souls. Mahadatikrama one should not do, like what Daksha Prajapati did, or what Indra did to Brihaspati. Those are called Mahadatikrama. Ayushriyam Yashodharmam Lokana Ashishri Evacha Hanti Shreyamsi Sarvani Pumso Mahadatikrama. He says, so offending Vaishnavas is considered more dangerous than failing to control the senses also. But somebody may fail to control the senses in demigod community and may fall down, just like Narada boy. He was Upabarhana. He was a demigod, but then he fell down from that position. But not everybody can be put in that category. There are also Devarishis like Narada. You know, he's a Devata, but see Narada's standard. So Devatas in general have many good qualities. You will find throughout Bhagavatam also Devatas praying to Lord Vishnu very beautifully with choice poetry. Shiva, Brahma and many other Devatas also. So we can, that is the brighter side of Devatas. Give the mic to him.
Hare Krishna. Like we hear that Mohiyantiyat Suraya. Surya means like a host of demigods are bewildered by the illusory potential.
Even they can be. Like even Brahma got bewildered, Indra got bewildered.
So like, do they believe personal, in general, do they believe that personality of Godhead or impersonal Brahman? What is the general conception in high planets?
Actually, in the divine realm, there are, like for example, if you go to Brahma Loka, before Brahma Loka there is Maharlok, Janalok, Tapalok, Satyalok, you know. So in the Maharlok, Janalok, Tapalok, there are many impersonalists also. And there are, they worship the impersonal Brahma Jyoti. But as you go to Brahmalok, Brahmalok is headed by Brahma, who is a pure devotee. And all the people in Brahmalok, they all go with Brahma also. Prabhupada writes in one place, they all go to the spiritual sky directly. So even in the Bhagavatam spoken by Sukadeva Goswami, you know, there were many impersonalists sitting also. You know, when he was speaking to Parikshit Maharaj. That's one reason Sukadeva Goswami is little extra sensitive, not to speak very freely. certain things about the personality of Godhead. So in the Vedic life, when you say rishis, munis and all, some of them may be worshipping demigods, some of them may be worshipping impersonal Brahma Jyoti, and some of them may be Ashtanga Yogis. Like when we went for one of the yatras in Vrindavan, in those days, we were taken to one gufa, you know, where one very great Sri Vaishnava Ashtanga Yogi lived. He was a personalist, but he was Ashtanga Yogi. We heard that he used to stay there and worship Lord Vishnu. He had a small murti of Vishnu also, but he was a yogi. He controlled his senses and he had many mystic powers he had. So you find a gradual elevation from the impersonalistic platform to the Ashtanga Yogi platform, and then Bhakti Yoga platform. Those are full-fledged bhaktas like that. So in the region of the devatas also, you find like that. Some may be personalist, some may be impersonalist. In Prabhupada writes in that verse, what is that verse? Mahantaste samachitta prashanta vimanyava surda sadavoye. What is that verse? Yoshitam sangi sangam. Mahatsevam dwaram ahur vimuktes tamodvaram yoshitam sangi sangam. Mahantaste samachitta prashanta vimanyava surda sadavoye. So in that purpose, Prabhupada writes personless and impersonless. He writes that if you read that. So personalist, impersonalist also respect each other also. Like the personalist respect impersonalist as jnanis who are attracted to the Brahma Jyoti, Kanti of the Lord. And those who are Brahma Jyoti attracted jnanis, they know that bhaktas are in the heart of the Lord. They are the most dear. So both personalities are mentioned in that verse, you can read that. Should one become brahmachari if he unintentionally fall prey to homo? Unintentionally, I don't know what this is called. Uni. Is it unintentionally or unintentionally? I think it's unintentionally. Fall prey to homo. Actually, if a boy is having homo type of thoughts, for example, he eventually over a period of time he rises above them, then he joins ashram, no problem. But if somebody is indulging in behaving with another fellow, if somebody's perverted attraction for perverted sex life has become so much that a man is indulging in it, that means he needs marriage. Then one has to approach a psychiatrist, psychologist, and take some treatment, and one should get married. We made a policy for those who have homo tendency, especially the male homo, they have zero attraction for females. For them, we said, I asked my spiritual master, what should we tell them? There are at least 5-6 people connected to Puna. So we told them, Maharaj told that, you cannot tell them to marry and you cannot tell them not to marry, he said. Because if you tell them to marry, then the woman will suffer. She will wonder that this fellow married me, he never looks at me at all. Because he doesn't feel any attraction. He will never give her a child. Because he is not convinced of having a union and begetting a child. At the same time, if you tell him don't marry also, that there has to be an individual decision, he said. So they may live with their parents and then just spend their whole life chanting, dancing, doing some services, and they may finish off their life like this. Because male marriages are prohibited according to Shastra from this point of view. Lord never told Brahma, please get them married to another man. Lord didn't say. That's not there in Bhagavata. So man marriage is not allowed. But the male attraction also could be because of male-female attraction, which is suppressed, as I told you. Then in that case, they may be properly married. Because brahmachari life is actually for brahmachari. What is brahmachari? One whose consciousness is always absorbed in Krishna. He has to feel a strong connection to Krishna and subject matter related to Krishna. If one has not internally awakened feeling such attraction, then brahmachari ashram is no good. We cannot hang around for a very long time. somebody may think, hey, if you join brahmachari ashram, you can chant and dance and get prasadam and take rest. You don't have to, have the janjat of wife, children, family, job and everything. Be a free bird. Such a free bird life doesn't come so easily. One has to actually be having some very strong transcendental attraction, spiritual attraction. Number one. Number two, if a person can completely give up his independent mentality and surrender to Guru, even though we may, our senses and mind may not be controlled, but if one surrenders to Guru completely, one gives up one's whimsical attitude, then one can become brahmachari. And if one is unable to give up such an attitude, then it's best that one takes up some engagement in the outside world, gets married, has family. It's ideal. One need not artificially suppress and make a show of brahmachari life. Because in the long run, after 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, brahmachari will be expected that he has developed a very strong higher taste and he speaks from the depth of realizations. It's not possible to just coast along in brahmachari life. One has to go deep in the study of Shastra. Brahmachari means we should realize everybody is like individual plane. Prabhupada says, you have to drive your own plane. When we're driving our plane, our only companion is super soul. So, we have to study the Shastra and develop realization. And if you think super soul is the only companion, you have to be completely truthful to him. You cannot play tricks with him. Because if somebody plays tricks with super soul, then super soul will give you apohanam. What is it? What is that gift? Forgetfulness. Yeah. Because he has all the three, you know, matta, smritir, jnanam, apohanam. You want to be cheated? Take it. Take forgetfulness. You want smriti? He'll give you smriti. You see? So he will give both. So, and he is our only companion. And he is capable of giving forgetfulness also. So we need a great degree of sincerity. At the same time, it is not that somebody who is joining ashram will not have attraction for maya. Na atisakto na nirvinno bhakti yogosya siddhidaha, Bhagavatam itself says. Yadrichayamat katado jatashraddhastu yahpuman na nirvinno na atisakto bhakti yogosya siddhidaha. He says, na atisakto na nirvinno. He is not totally indifferent from the outside world. Nor is he overly attached to enjoyment. Shridhar Swami says, Atisakta means he is not overly attached to the activities of this world. But he has some attraction. At the same time, he is not disgusted totally also. Nanirvindna. Like a jnani type. Like a jnani is totally disgusted. So, he is not like a jnani, not like a karmi. No. He is in between. He is very ideally suited for bhakti. That means a person who likes to do a lot of activities, he is enthusiastic, he has not developed a kind of shushka vairagya for the world. So, he has some attachment is there. That attachment we are having towards maya should be reposed towards Krishna. You have to divert the direction. And that's what happened to Billu Mangal. Billu Mangal was attracted to Chintamani. And then he diverted that attraction to Krishna. That's what one should do. Then only we can develop attachment to Krishna. We need to be active in spiritual life. We are not supposed to be idling. Yeah. Time. Srila Prabhupada ki, Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki. Thank you very much.